In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we gather this second Sunday of Advent, we're hearing from the prophets that this concept of this of our coming Lord, and we are understanding that we are both looking back and looking forward. We are remembering the coming of Jesus, the infant child, and we are awaiting the coming of our King Jesus, who will reign in this new heaven and new earth. And we live in this in-between time. And it can be a bit of a struggle to hear what the prophets are saying, because it sounds as though there's an expectation of how God's people are going to be prepared for his return. And I have to say, as someone who has done a few years of schooling, I thought I was over this, but I discovered this past week, as I have been informed by the diocesan office, I have to renew my Safeguarding God's Children. Many of you have that. You've done that training. Yes, I've done it many times, which is a good thing. But here's the strange thing. I didn't want to do it. I found myself very hesitant, not because of the material, not really because of the time, but I know that every section has a quiz. And every time it comes to time for a quiz, I'm out. I mean, I could go to school, honestly, the rest of my days if nobody was grading me. So when I start to hear what the prophets are saying, I start thinking, I think I'm going to be graded. Now, Scripture calls it judgment. And I don't think we like that very much. But I think we need to listen closely. And as I was looking at Malachi this week, I was reflecting on my undergrad schooling, which I would like to say was a really long time ago, but it really wasn't. I was 37 when I went to college. And although that sounds like a long time ago already too, doesn't it? But the fact of the matter is I went through a program out of St. Pete, out of Eckerd College, Pell program, which is Program for Experienced Learners, which means old people going to college. And we had to, you know, you have to take all the same courses that everyone else takes. But in that program, you had 8-week terms. And the professors who taught it in 16 weeks will come and teach it to you one night a week in 8 weeks. It was a little bit like drinking from a fire hose. And we had to take statistics. Now, math is not my thing. You know, if I do priest math, if there's 8 people, I add 3. Right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You got to add it on. So math was not my thing. I made it through, thought I was done, and then I have to take statistics. Now, needless to say, I was not excited about this concept, and neither were any of my classmates. So we arrived the first night of class, and the professor says, I'm going to show you immediately, because you have to move immediately, this is what statistics is about. And he said, I'm going to ask each of you this question, and I want to know what your anxiety level is with this class, 1 being not anxious, 5 being very anxious. And he asked everyone in the class. Do you know what the majority of the people said? 5, right? 5. And then he asked this question. He goes, okay. And he's putting it on the board and creating all the graphs and curves and whatever. And he said, how many of you got my email prior to the start of this class? So of course, everybody, if they didn't, they should at least should have said they did. He goes, there's 2 things in there. 1 is the syllabus. 1 is your midterm exam, which, by the way, is 4 weeks away. Did you look at it? Yes. He goes, this is what you need to know. Between now and the time I give you that exam, I am going to give you the answer to every single question on the exam. We're going to spend the next few weeks going over every single problem. I will tell you the answers, and you can keep all the notes you want in your book. It will be an open book test. And then he said, on a level of 1 to 5, what's your anxiety level? And he asked every person in the room. And you know what they said? 5. This is one of those moments I realized I'm not like other people, because I was at a 1 at that point. I'm like, no, he seriously just told us he's going to give us the answers. Now, of course, I didn't realize you can't do a statistics problem in the margins of a book. But what happened is I believed him. So I was no longer worried. He was going to show me what to do. Not only show me what to do, but he was going to teach me how to actually pass the exam. So it was funny because, you know, 2 weeks in, I show up, classes are in the evening. There's this group of ladies. They say, "Brian, did you figure out dot, dot, dot from last week?" I went, "Nope." "Wow, we left here last week and went to Denny's. We were there till 2 a.m. trying to figure this stuff out." I said, "I'm going to reach in this bag and I'm going to take out my book. Last time I saw it is when you watched me put it in here last week." He said he's going to tell us. And you know what? He did. The difference is I believed him. And I got an A in his class. And they all thought, "How did you do that? You didn't even study." I said, "Well, that's not true. What I did is I listened because he was giving me everything I needed in order to pass his class." Brothers and sisters, this preparation time that we are in Advent, is similar to what Malachi was saying. He was speaking maybe more specifically of the Levite priests at the time, who, by the way, had sort of lost sight of their job. But it moves forward now, and we use it today to remind us of the coming of our Lord. And he says, "See, I'm sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." And then he says, he asks this question, "But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears?" I think I know who can stand. The question is, do any of you want to stand when he appears? I'm a little nervous now. I hate to say it, but y'all could have played golf. If you don't want to stand when the Lord returns, or maybe you're afraid there's a quiz. It's an open book test. It's an open book test. But listen closely. It says, "For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver." Easy for me to say. "Purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness." He will do this. See, the teacher is saying, yes, you need to be bringing yourself into the understanding of holiness. I will bring you there if you listen. He is the fuller's soap, the soap that would have been used to wash the wool so it would be bright and white. He is not only the refiner's fire, but the refiner. He is the one that's going to put the heat on you until that which is impure raises up to the surface, and he is going to take that and scoop it off and toss it to the side so that you will be made pure. He will make you pure. Amen? He's giving us the answers to the test. It's an open book test. The question is, do we believe him? Do we trust him? First day of my New Testament class in seminary, the professor stood up. He picked up his Bible. He says, "Before you begin, you need to understand, I believe the words in this book are true. I believe this to be truth." And I immediately thought, I think I'm in the right class. Brothers and sisters, I believe the words in this book, the very word of God, to be true. He is saying to us through Malachi that he is the refiner. He is the fuller's soap. He is the fire. He will purify us. And it may seem like a lot, but you know the refiner is creating the pure metals, not destroying them. The idea of the fuller soap is not to degrade the wool, it is to make it a bright and clean white. The question we have to ask ourselves is, do we believe what God is saying? And can we trust him with ourselves? Now, usually what happens is people start getting nervous right about now. Y'all are doing good. Usually this is where I look out and everybody is going, I need to shine my shoes. It's a little nerve-wracking, isn't it? Why? Well, because we know ourselves. And most of us have come along this journey and we say, we're going to journey with Christ to here. Because if I go past here, things start to get a little uncomfortable. See, I can have Jesus in my life as long as it stays within this parameter. As long as it is on Sunday and maybe a Wednesday, an occasional high holy day, it's good. But can I put Jesus in every aspect of my life? And many would say, let's not mess that up. I believe there's two reasons for that. One, we're afraid someone's going to think we're some kind of a Jesus freak. And nobody wants to be a Jesus freak, do they? I know some of you do. But the reality is, it's a nervousness that comes over us. We're afraid somebody's going to see us as something else. And we've even seen people like that. Even as Christians, right? You see that one person who's just zealous and they're just on fire, so to speak. And then you kind of walk away and go, whoa. Even if your friend is with you, they go, well, aren't you a Christian? Well, not like that. I'm not one of those Christians. That one wants to talk to everybody about Jesus. There's this really wonderful gospel song I was listening to last night. And it's called, I'm Nobody Telling Everybody About Somebody Who Can Save You. All of us are called to that. But I think we're a little afraid to allow Jesus into the depths of our dark souls on occasion. Not just because it might change us, to where the world might notice, but because we're afraid of what Jesus might think. What if he knew it all? Well, brothers and sisters, he knows it all. He will not forsake you. See, in our preparation, these times of Advent, when we are awaiting his coming, our Savior, these are times when we are reminded that on this journey, one of our primary functions is to be continually surrendering our lives to him, allowing him into those places that make even us uncomfortable, those fears, the shame, the pain, the sorrow, the sin. And we are to look at Jesus and say, can you fix this? Can we listen close enough to his word? Do we believe it to be true in such a way that it brings that heat, that brings the impurities to the surface where, oh my goodness, they are visible, and then allow him to remove them so that we may be pure and holy and able to stand when he comes, amen? See, this is the call. This is the process. That's what this time of Advent is about. It's not just thinking about what you're going to be purchasing for your gifts for others. In fact, honestly, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with your soul. Your soul. Is yours pure? Mine's not. I keep thinking I'm making progress, and then all of a sudden, I realize every time I think I'm making progress, the progress that God is making through me by the power of his Holy Spirit ends. because it's not for me to do. It's an open book test. The question is, can I take the heat? Am I willing to allow him to refine me, to let that brokenness come out of me, to let the darkness rise up, to let the impurities be taken away by him so that I can be holy, sanctified, set apart. Oh, transformed. So that we can do what? Transform the world. See, that's why your friends get nervous when you become a Jesus freak. Because you're bringing the heat. They see you and they think, oh my goodness, this person's too holy. And they start to back away. Well, shoot, even our family does it, don't they? Oh, well, you know, they got Jesus. We just stay away from him. I've seen this at such a level that after he's being invited to an event that was actually a baptism, we were invited a half hour later than everyone else. Do you know why? That's not it. Cocktails, brothers and sisters. Mimosas after church. Well, let's just tell Brian to come a half hour later, then we can have our mimosas. Was that for me? No. For some reason, they felt that was wrong. Honestly, if you're having mimosas, I'm good. I got medication for the heartburn and everything. But the reality is, when we begin to live our lives in Christ, we become to the world a little bit of heat. And they begin to recognize, I could be better. So I don't know how it works for you, but every time I'm confronted with the reality of potentially changing, and I don't really want to, I will go find other people who agree with me that I don't have to change. Easy to find, isn't it? Especially in a broken, fallen world. But we are called to more. And we can hear from the prophet today, from Malachi, that he, God, is the one that will bring this about for us. Brothers and sisters, it's an open book test. You can do all you think you can do. You can strive all you want to strive, but I'm telling you right now, what you need to do is surrender and just let the teacher teach. Hear what he is saying. Let yourself be convicted. And when you are convicted and you find some of that impurity rises to the top, give it up. Give it up to the refiner. It's his job. And honestly, through Scripture, all he's doing constantly through Scripture, God is begging us, let me be your God. Because he knows we can't do it alone. Advent, brothers and sisters, is preparation. It's a reminder that we are in constant preparation for the coming of our Lord. The question is, do we want to stand or do we want to be afraid? Because we decided we would figure out the answers when he's already giving them to us. If your eyes aren't closed already, I want you to close your eyes. It'll be okay. I'm not going to steal your wallet. Senior warden will do that later. I want you to take just a moment. Recognize you are actively participating in a tradition, a Christian tradition, that understands surrendering before and at the process of letting Jesus into a deeper level. That is why we do confession before we receive the body and blood. Close your eyes. And you know what it is. You know that peace that haunts you, that darkness, that fear, that shame, that whatever that is between you and God. and just acknowledge it and ask him, refine me now.